This week, I talk about strong women's spirits from Ottawa and Hamilton. This is from personal stories shared and experiences around the ghost walks in the Custom House and Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Now, I was leading a tour in Niagara-on-the-Lake last weekend or the weekend before? The weekend before. And I had this very nice couple come up to me after the tour was done, and they told me they were from Ottawa and they're big believers in the paranormal, and they shared a really interesting experience. So this comes from Ottawa, which is a historic place, not as historic as some Canadian cities, and I know anybody from Kingston would completely agree with that one. But there are some interesting ghost stories in Ottawa. Of course, the Carlton Jail is one that pops into my head right away. I stayed a couple nights, actually 3 or 4 nights, inside the jail as part of a host for a bus tour and also my own personal venturing up to the city. I was very happy to introduce my wife to that experience. I don't know if she actually liked it. And to be honest, I was kind of tired at that point too, because I'm not the best sleeper, and being in the jail cell is a cool experience, but when you're actually just tired and want to go to sleep, not the easiest thing in the world. So I will say that. But, you know, going there, being part of the history, there's not a lot of jails left in Canada from that time period, from the 1800s. And when you have one, and not only do you have one, but you can stay overnight in it, that's huge. So being able to do that was wonderful. Gave me a real view into Ottawa history. So for this one, Kyle is the man's name, the couple. He's from Ottawa, and he worked or works in the College of Physicians and Surgeons. Now, he mentioned that it was an old monastery, so this place does have history outside of being a government building. A monastery, it would be in the Christianity realm, so you would have it. You would have nuns inside there. And one afternoon he was working. Now, his office was in the basement, and he shared the space with other workers. And he was on the phone with his wife, and they're talking back and forth. And at first he hears it. Now, it's a singing that's happening in a distance, and it didn't really register with him. If you have these experiences, you know, it takes a little moment for it to sink in a bit. If it's happening right in front of you, usually it doesn't sink in until after it's done. But for him, I mean, sitting there, you hear the singing in the distance, you think, okay, somebody's playing a radio or somebody's just having a bit of fun. You know, it's nothing. And he doesn't really recognize it completely until his wife on the phone asks, what is that? So then he's listening, he's like, okay, this singing doesn't really make any sense. So he puts the phone down and he gets up from the desk. He walks over to the door and leans into the hallway and listens. Now, this is a long hallway. Now, you say, so you think long hallway, there's a door at the end or whatever. No, this is a massively long hallway. So this hallway spans the entire basement level of a huge building. You know, an old monastery is going to be a big, big space, and it spans the entire building. So he peeks his head out and he listens, and from a distance, you know, not in the hall, but from one of the adjacent rooms, the singing is echoing. And he said it was a woman's voice, that it was very beautiful, and that it sounded like almost like an opera singer was singing from this mysterious place. So he goes back to the phone, sits down, he looks at the other employees. They all hear the singing as well. They're all looking a little bit frightened in the moment. And he picks up the phone, is about to say something to his wife. The singing stops. So it's a quick experience, yes. And we don't really have any details beyond that. It's just the interesting aspect of not only did he have the experience, but, you know, his wife over the phone heard it as well, and she was the one that brought him into the moment. So then you ask the question, well, how is this possible? you know, who could it be? The history of the building doesn't include opera in any way, but definitely being a monastery, I mean, singing is a large part of Christianity. If you've ever been to a Christian Mass, you will know this. There is singing throughout the Mass. Sometimes you'll have professional singers or a choir, an organist playing as well. Sometimes it's just the congregation themselves that are singing the hymns. So to have a woman singing like that isn't really that crazy in a once religious building filled with nuns. So a woman's voice. So it makes complete sense. So this got me thinking how women's spirits are very prominent in most hauntings. And it's a question I've been asked before in the past, is why are most ghosts that are talked about? I know in Hamilton that's the case. I'm sure other cities and towns are similar. But why are most ghosts women? Actually, one town that would be different is Niagara-on-the-Lake, considering that it's revolving around the War of 1812. So you have women's spirits, of course, but you also have men's spirits because of what happened to them during battle. So a lot of the violence comes with men who were soldiers at the time being killed. So Niagara-on-the-Lake could actually be a good example, but for most towns and cities that don't have a war that was fought on their soil, that you do get a lot of women ghosts. So then why is this? Well, I've given my suggestions. I don't know for sure. Like I always say, it's called the unknown for a reason. But in a lot of cases, women are more connected with the older homes. So we have the more traditional view that back in the day, the women were more attached to the homes, however you want to say that or look at that. So their energy would be more connected because it was their home. They ran it. They invited people in. You know, they were the rulers of those homes. So being that closely connected, mixed in with having a more strong spiritual energy, which is something I've personally experienced, is that women tend to be more close to the spiritual than men are these days. It's changing. I am a personal testament to the fact that it is changing, that, you know, men are also becoming more spiritual. As a side note, I will say that I did lie to you guys last week. I said I was going to do the Spiritual Sunday, and I didn't. Something intuition is telling me that it's not the right time for me to begin. Hopefully within the next few weeks, I will put something together. You know, my first subject, of course, is going to be natural intuition, but again, I am getting off topic here. So women being closer to spiritual, closer to these historic homes was my off-the-top guesstimate about why women spirits are more prominent than men in so many historic locations in Ontario and Canada and such. So it got me thinking about, you know, some of these more strong women spirits that I've heard stories about over the years. And I want to kind of feature that in the show today. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was the old H.H. shop. So this was a haunted shop that I was part of. And it was opened on James Street South in Hamilton. If you look up the Stone Terrace buildings, not 100% sure what's in that space now. It was actually a sex shop for a while there. That was right after we left. They eventually came in. Before us, it was a shop known as Florence Nightingales. And they provided nursing uniforms. It's close to St. Joseph's Hospital. So they did the nursing uniforms, I know, for St. Joe's. Maybe for the general, well, I'm not sure, called Florence Nightingales, which is kind of fitting, right? I don't know if you know that, but Florence Nightingale was technically the founder of modern nursing. So it is a very fitting name. And a little historical thing that kind of hit me, I thought was kind of cool, was that her parents were a bit strange when it came to naming their children. They would name their kids. There wasn't like a family name from what I could see, but they would name them after the place they were born and maybe something interesting along with that. So from Italy, Florence was born in Florence, which makes sense. So Nightingale, I'm not sure where they got it from, but her sister was Frances Parthenope, and Parthenope was a Greek settlement in Naples. So they were naming them after where they were born, and I guess there was no real like family name, which I think afterwards they must have been kicking themselves. Maybe even from beyond the grave, it's like, here we have the most famous nurse in the history of the world, and she could have had our last name, but well, we got to be dumb. We got to name after a location in Nightingale. What is that, a bird? They chose a location and a bird instead of the family name. But yeah, maybe they were just free of all ego, which is something I will talk about in the future on Spiritual Sundays, I promise. So it was Florence Nightingale's. It was a sex shop after us. And in the middle, it was the HH shop that was tied in with psychic readings and spiritual items and such. So the reason I bring that up, there was a very prominent woman spirit inside that building. Her name was Elizabeth. Now, how do we know this? Well, I mentioned it is a psychic shop, and here was a wonderful, unique opportunity to have psychics inside of a haunted place at regular intervals. So we're talking that there's like psychic readings going on for customers in this place. So when there's no readings going on, they just sit there and shoot the crap and just talk about whatever, and they're picking up impressions at the same time, and the spirits are attempting to communicate with them. So this woman, Elizabeth, was attempting to communicate and was more old-fashioned in her sensibilities. Not sure who exactly she was, whether she was connected to the Florence Nightingale shop. That's a potential, but she could also be connected to the house. The stone terrace was row houses at one point. We never found that out, but she was intrigued, but also upset of what we were using the space for at the time. She didn't like the idea of us stirring the spirits up, which I'll come back to. We were quite aggressive when it came to that, going back to my younger paranormal days. You know, it's the same thing with life. When you're younger, you're always a little more assertive, aggressive, and that you do things a little more crazily, for lack of a better term. So we were assertive. And she didn't seem to like that too much, which I completely understand. Looking back on it, I totally get it. So she wasn't happy for us being there in the first place. And that's what she shared with the psychic who was in the shop at the time. Now, an employee in the shop experienced Elizabeth firsthand. And this is quite intriguing because it didn't happen at nighttime. You know, whenever you hear aggressive, assertive experiences with ghosts, they're usually at nighttime. And one of the reasons why is that things are more calm at night. And being as such, you know, you can feel more. Your mind is set on the right path as a non-psychic to feel more and to experience more. Everything is at its more calm. So even during the day, if you're not psychic, there would be ghosts screaming in your face and you won't know until, you know, at all. And maybe at nighttime, if they did the same thing, you might have a feeling or something quick, visual in front of your face. But this was in the morning. So the employee was going to open the shop in the morning, heads into the first door. The first door is like a tiny hallway. And then you turn left and you open the door to the shop. So he walks into the shop and she turns and looks to the back. So in the back, we had this curtain that separated the shop area from the back room. And the curtain was open. She couldn't remember if she had left it open the previous day or if it had opened by itself at one point. But it was open. And it, even though the light was shining through the front windows, the back area was completely blacked out. There's no windows that the light could shine through. But the light coming from the front kind of illuminates the back around the computer. And she saw this shadow. So the shape of it looked like a woman. Looked like she was hunched over, kind of standing, not sitting. There was a chair there, but she's standing, hunched over, looking towards the computer. Now, the computer at the time is not like a laptop. It's a desktop, and it's not like the desktops today. It is one of them massive old ones with the big CRT tube monitors. And she was like looking, staring into the monitor as if the spirit hadn't seen one of these before, which would make complete sense because Florence Nightingale, I saw the shop before we went in and took over, and she did not have a computer. She had no computer at all, no TV, nothing. Just, you know, if like you have your cash register for cash and you had your credit card swipers. I don't know, younger ears in the audience don't know what these things are, but the older ears, you know, the more advanced ears, such as myself, it's the ones where you put the carbon paper in with the multiple copies and then the credit card, and then it had this medieval slider on the top, and it made this like crazy sound. Sorry about that. And it just was so old-fashioned. Like, we've come so far in so little time. But that's all Florence Nightingale's would have had. So to have a computer there with the monitor would have probably confused the ghost. And maybe seeing a computer, that's one of the reasons why she was so scared. I know my own mom, when she first got her tablet, she was also scared too. So I can understand that feeling. So she saw the woman hunched over staring into the computer screen, and then the woman's gone in a snap. That was a snap. So we were fascinated by the energy of this place, needless to say. And it led to us doing this. I'll go into detail about this later on. If I do a Ouija board episode, I'll talk a bit more about this. It was an interesting experience. But basically, it was myself and two other people who went in there one evening at night, of course, being all aggressive and assertive. And we set up a Ouija board in the middle of the shop space and used the Ouija board to try and communicate with the spirits. Now, our goal, of course, was to contact Elizabeth, but we were open to any spirit who wanted to come through. Didn't really matter, though. We didn't really get anything specific. We only got some really, really nasty energy. I mean, I have not experienced something on this level since. They obviously didn't like the fact that we were trying to communicate with them or using a Ouija board. We didn't have a psychic present, and I was in my younger, less experienced days, as were we all, and not sure really what to do when this type of situation gets out of hand. And boy, did it get out of hand. I mean, it got to the point that you just felt completely uncomfortable in that room. All three of us felt it at the exact same time. And the weirdest part is the curtain in the back and the curtain for the psychic parlor were just pulled aside just a tad. And I remember the feeling, it almost felt like there was something behind both curtains at the same time watching us. And that just creeped me the heck out. So that was it. And the minute we felt like we were being watched, the room was already heavy at that point. It felt really strange. We got out of there. So ended the session. I don't even think we closed it out. I mean, that's how inexperienced that was. We didn't even say goodbye. We just like, okay, we out, and dropped the planchet, so to speak, and just got up, walked out, locked the door, went home for the night. Now, it was the employee who came in the next day, and she did mention that it didn't, like, it felt fine. So as like, I guess the energy cleared or whatever spirits in there had calmed down at that point. But at that point, things felt fine again. So in the end, it all worked out. for the spirits, not for us. The HH shot was not made for this world in downtown Hamilton. I don't know, maybe it would do better today with the increased number of people moving to the city, but back then not so much, and it died a somewhat quick death, maybe about 9 months after it started. It was closed down. So I had talked to the people who ran the sex shop, and they did say that they had experiences in there. They even renovated the place to make it look more original, which I thought was really cool. Ours was kind of a little outdated, but they went back to the real historic roots and said that it's still haunted. We went back there for a Cable 14 segment, which is the local Hamilton station. And I'm trying to remember if there was anything specific we were focused on. I only remember the cameraman trying to avoid certain shells because it was a sex shop after all, especially down in the basement. And I won't go into too much detail, but there were things in the basement that I have never seen in my life. I saw it on the shelf and I was like, the first thing, I didn't even read the box. I was like, what the hell is that? What do you do use that for? It's like a mask with a little shelf in the, you know, I'm not going to go into much detail. I'm just going to let that stew for you a little bit, but I'm sure the energy stuck around. I don't know if they didn't really have any deep experiences. I'm wondering if Elizabeth was more happy with the sex shop over top of the ghost one. I don't know. You know, there's something a little bit of thought for you. If you're bored tonight or any night, just think about that. If you were a spirit and something was invading your home, would you rather have it be people who are seeking you to communicate with you or a sex shop filled with dirty, dirty things? So you think about that and you let me know. Let me know what you think. Because for me personally, if I were to choose, I would choose the spirit store. Wait, no. I forgot, though, then I could like sit back and watch the customers come in and pick out that stuff. And there's like, I would find that completely fascinating. Nothing against them. I think it's wonderful. You'd be that open, but I don't know. You know, I'm going to have to give this one more thought. Sorry. This is a show about ghosts. Don't you forget that. So, very strong woman spirit inside the old HH shop, which I figured I'll stick with Hamilton this week and use this as an opportunity to talk about two of the strongest women spirits that I've ever dealt with in the city. And the first one is one that if you've been on our tours in Hamilton, you are probably familiar with this woman. We don't know her name, but we do know her as the Dark Lady. Now, she is the oldest known spirit in the entire city, and she comes from the original Custom House building that is in the North End. Now, she haunts this place inside the Custom House. She's not really associated with anything outside of it. There's a legend around her that said she was traveling over from England to Canada. I won't go into too much detail, but she caught the eye of the ship's captain. An affair happened, and when the lights of the city are in the distance, the ship's captain remembers, I have a wife and kids. So this man, obviously a psychopath, lures her up to the deck one evening and strangles her to death, sneaks her body in the dead of night into the basement of the Custom House, which at the time was newly built. And it is said that in the basement vault, he was able to put her body inside the wall and brick her up. And her body has remained there. And because of the way she died and her body being inside the building, she now haunts this space. So it's a very strong spirit mixed with being so well known for many generations. So if you believe in the idea of being able to manifest spirits, even if the legend isn't true, it's true now that the spirit exists. And the reason being is if we as energy believe in something so wholeheartedly as being real, that it is possible to manifest a spirit out of nothing. There are examples of this happening all over the world. And for Hamilton and me personally, it's the Dark Lady of the Custom House. Now, there's many experiences with her. I've gone into detail about them in the past. But I think one I haven't really told about is just kind of a quick one to give you an idea of just the random times that she'll show up. One of our former ghost guides, James Pettit, he was waiting for a tour to begin, and he liked to just have some quiet time to himself, which is a tactic even I use, just to kind of mentally prepare yourself for the group. And he would sneak off into the gift shop. So if you walk in the main doors and you turn left, there's the main gift shop. And behind that, there's the second room, which is, has this kiosk, this beautiful kiosk, all lit up with, I think, like information about the workers of the city and maps and such. So what he would do is he would hide on the one side of the kiosk. So if you walked in the room, you really couldn't see him. So he could be alone and wait for us to give him his cue. So he would hear it from the gallery and then make his grand entrance. He was very good that way, very, very dramatic, and people loved it. But the one time that he was waiting, we had introduced him, and he did come in, but he looked a little off. I remember he looked a little like kind of like pale and freaked out. But he still went up. He did the tour. He didn't, like, you know, say anything. And it wasn't until afterwards that he mentioned what happened to him. So he's sitting in the corner behind the kiosk, and there's this light shining in from the hallway, technically coming from the main gallery. It's just a very dim light. And in the light shining in on the wall in front of him, the other corner, he saw a shadow. Now, it wasn't just a slight shadow. He wasn't sure if it was there or not. It was a prominent shadow, kind of an unnatural shadow that rose up of a woman's silhouette. So you have the head, the shoulders, the torso, and then from the waist down, it kind of jetted out a bit. The old-fashioned dresses of the day that kind of puffed out at the sides and the back a bit. So he sees this prominent, unnatural shadow in a dim light of a woman just kind of rising out of the wall towards him, and then it just disappears. And the feeling that left with him when it was gone, this is what disturbed him. So, you know, leave it to him, the constant professional, to come out and just kind of push this nasty experience aside to do the tour. And then afterwards, finally letting it out, I still see he was even shook after the tour was done about the experience. But just a random one. Just a random slight experience with those elements in it. Unnatural vividness of this, the shadow within dim light, is enough to disturb anyone alone. But having it rise up towards you, and I assume it's the energy, the feeling of negativity or dread that's left behind. I mean, just the subtleties in that show you how powerful this spirit is. And I totally believe very powerful spirit from the other experiences we had with the Dark Lady. And the other one I wanted to mention, this comes from the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Now, this tour wasn't very long in running. I forget how many years, but maybe like 4 or 5 years it ran for. It's not happening anymore, sadly. Maybe in the future. I got my fingers and toes crossed on that one. I do miss doing it. It's a very active place. But the one that stood out, of course, was the woman inside the mansion. Now, this is the Tuckett Mansion. George Tuckett, Tobacco King of Ontario, former mayor of Hamilton. That was his house before the Freemasons came and added the cathedral in the 1920s. So we think the woman has to do with the Tuckett family, because there's this massive portrait of a woman in a white dress at the top of the grand staircase. So if you've seen the iconic stained glass woman, it's not her. Look to the left of that, and that's where the woman in the white dress is. And they say that she's one of the main ghosts. Now, by they, I mean Freemasons. I mean, think about that. The Society with Secrets. These are people who are very secretive, or are trained over the years to be very secretive, and they're talking about a ghost inside the house of one of their most grand lodges with non-Masons, of all people. that tells you something. So they would experience her in very subtle ways. They would hear footsteps. Usually when they're walking on the main floor, they would hear footsteps on the second level. And they say it sounds like the hard-heeled type boots that women would wear back then. So they believe it was the woman. But the one that was more prominent is walking by the staircase, that many of them have seen movement from the corner of their eye. So they'll see movement as if somebody is walking down or up the staircase. When they look over thinking they're going to see someone, there's nobody there. Every single time they see the movement is very quick, and then there's nobody there. So the element of that that tells us it might be the woman is they say from the corner of their eye, it does look like somebody wearing something white, and not just like a piece of white, but a lot of white, the kind of white that you would get from a old Victorian dress. So it's not something that you would see common today, especially puffed out the way the dresses were. I've already talked a bit about that. All puffed out, so it stands out. Very much, much larger white image from the corner of their eye. And when they look over to the stairs, there's nothing there. So to get that experience from Masons, and then during our tours, there were some experiences as well that seemed to be connected to this woman. There you have a final example, going back to my original point in the show, is how the women's spirits were attached to these homes because these were their realms. They presided over their realms, and being more spiritual as well tells us that their energy would be more prominent in there and would remain. So that's it, everyone. I hope you enjoy the show. I always wanted to do kind of an episode dedicated to women's spirits. I'm sure it won't be the last one. Maybe next time I'll venture outside of my own Southern Ontario and feature some stuff in Toronto. I'm sure there's some great stories out there. Also, as I mentioned, the Spiritual Sundays will happen. I am not promising again. I'm not going to promise because I really don't know. The intuition was just kicking me right in the face, told me not to do it. I don't know why. I just didn't feel it. And I think this will change probably after the summer when things calm down a bit with the tours. And speaking of with the tours, I will be out on Friday and Saturday of this week, leading in Niagara and the Lake, and also the final Niagara's Dark History. So if you haven't seen that one yet, it's the last one of the summer. Yes, we'll bring them back in October for a few dates. But if you want to get out for the summer, that's a beautiful time to do it, to see the areas really prominently without it becoming dark, and just enjoying the warm weather while hearing strange and violent stories of history. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll talk to you next week.